And again, it's a privilege for me to be here. It's always a little intimidating to go to one of Carrie's churches and introduce myself or let her introduce me, especially like when I went to her parents' church or her sending church. I had some interesting responses, you might say, or warnings. I had some men come up and say, if you mess up, you're dead, you know. And others come up, you know, you've got a precious jewel there. And I'm like, yes. And others come up and say, you're the bravest man I've ever met. So it's Carrie is definitely an answer to prayer for me and for my girls. I have four daughters. They're college age and up. My oldest has two kids. I am now a granddad, which is cool. And so is Carrie, which is amazing. So my second daughter in February had her first kid. So we have three grandchildren. But three of my girls are married. One of them is not, but has a boyfriend. And so it's exciting. And again, for me to be here in the States is a complete surprise. And didn't really give the reason, but basically I took on way too much of a load in Peru. I went back after my wife passed away and was loving it, working hard. But took on too much of a load, and well, for the first time in my life, went through burnout, and actually understand that it does affect everything. And then also with some changes in the church, was looking for what God would have me to do, and reached out to BIMI. But being here in the States is a surprise. I never thought I'd come back to the States. Same with Carrie. She has a gravesite in Uganda, where she just assumed that she would work until she died, and die there in Uganda. But it is amazing how God does bring people together, and He brought us together. I would like to share a message with you in Ezekiel. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. This is a passage that I remember as a young man that I ran across. And I want to encourage you, read your Bible. Read it every day. And at the time, I was a young man reading my Bible. And if you're like me, you kind of zone out. And I had kind of zoned out. I was just checking off, you know, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and going through Ezekiel. And I got to chapter 33, and God kind of caught my attention. Because I was thinking, man, I'm really zoning out because I've already read this. And so as I read through chapter 33, I read it, and then I was like, deja vu. And so I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again. I thought, I know I've read this somewhere else. So I actually started again at the beginning of Ezekiel, and just started reading through Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, you run across the exact same object lesson that God gives here about a watchman. But it was really neat because just something as simple as that, God repeating his story twice in the book of Ezekiel, as a young man, it caught my attention. And I started, you might say, meditating on the Word of God. I read it over and over and over and over again, and it's become one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Ezekiel. So let's read Ezekiel chapter 33, but I encourage you after the sermon service at some point, go back and read chapter 3, and you'll see that the story is repeated there. Let's read verses 1 through 11. So Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 11. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he see the sword, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked from his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his wicked from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye shall speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, we pine away in them. How should we then live? say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Pretty cool story. Pretty good object lesson as it is. But you know what? I didn't remember really focusing it on when I read it in chapter 3. But then when I got to chapter 33 and read it, I was like, oh man, what is this? And read it over and over again. Very good illustration of object lesson. Let's pray, and then we'll work through this verse by verse and see what God has for us. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the faithfulness of supporting Carrie through these years. Thank you that Carrie and I could be here and share about our transition to the States and the way you've worked in our lives. I pray now that as we look at your word through Ezekiel, I pray that you can just fill us with your spirit, open up our eyes, and help us to learn and take responsibility for what you would have us to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Powerful verse, but as a missionary, I want to start this lesson off with a great commission verse. I'm going to read Luke 24, verse 46 through 48. It says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross for us and rose from the grave. Verse 47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are my witnesses of these things. So back in Ezekiel, we basically have the object lesson of the watchman. And I love object lessons. I love when pastors or teachers or somebody trying to get a point across uses an object lesson. It helps. I remember still as a young man, probably in elementary school, that our youth pastor got up and he did a lesson in front of the church. And as a little kid, I didn't really pay much attention, but he caught my attention because he got up there and he had this lamp or this jar that he had busted in moving his stuff around in the house. He had broken this jar and he tried to glue it back together and it really didn't work. And so he kind of haphazardly glued it back together. But he used it as an object lesson about, and I don't remember exactly what it was about, but basically the idea of us shining to the world, the light of God shining out of us to the world, because he put that up on the pulpit, turned out all the lights, and put a candle in it. And it was hidden, but it really wasn't, because it shined through all the cracks in that jar. And it was basically showing that, you know, we may go through some hard times. We have cracks and bruises, and we've been beat up, but God can use that. And as Jesus Christ in us, it shines through to those around us. Yeah. And I love the song we had earlier. But that's an object lesson I heard when I was back in elementary school, and yet God, you know, he uses it to get our attention, something we're familiar with, understand, that we'll remember. And that's what he did with the object lesson here. With that, he also did it with parables in the New Testament. He would talk about parables. He did it in the Old Testament. And the illustration of a watchman, doesn't really fit us. So that, you know, we get the idea. But for the house of Israel at that time, they knew exactly what God was talking about here when he talked about the watchman. They were very familiar with the watchman because that's how they survived. That's how they lived in their towns and their cities. And as a nation, they had watchmen that were there to protect him. So let's look through this and see what we can gain from this. Look again at verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 33. And it said, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Now, I should have caught on a little bit when it said again. You know, Rick, this has already been told you once. But it said, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman. Well, what about a watchman? In our culture today, an example of a watchman would be a police officer. He's basically a watchman in the city. He gets in his patrol car, and he patrols our city, what? Keeping watch for robbers and thieves or somebody in need to help them out and basically provide the help that is needed. So that's an example of a watchman today. Another good illustration of a watchman would be a shepherd. Well, we don't have that. That doesn't really fit us either, but that's the beautiful picture of a watchman. A shepherd is basically to guard the flock against thieves or beasts, enemies that would come in and take a sheep. A guard at the hospital near us or a factory or something like that, a guard, security guard, that's basically a watchman. They're keeping watch. They're protecting the property. A sentry in the army would be the idea of a watchman. a cowboy at night, a night watch. I love Louis the Moore westerns. I grew up, my mom read them all the time, so I grew up reading Louis the Moore western books. And they would have, they'd have the cowboys, they'd camp out overnight, and they'd basically put up, one of them would be the watchman, everybody else would go to sleep. And the idea was that he was supposed to keep watch while everybody else rested. And it never failed. Being a western story, the watchman would fall asleep or get distracted, and what would happen? The enemy would come in and attack, and somebody would die or get robbed or something like that because they failed to do the job of the watchman. And so I like that illustration. Here, we have a watchman. It's a little bit different. It's for a whole city. Look again at verse 2. Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land. So this is during a time of war. All right, the enemy is coming. The sword is coming into the land. If the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. So this is a time of war. We have a city we need to protect. We need to put a man of our coast, somebody that we know, as our watchman to watch for the enemy. And look at verse 3. If he see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. And here basically we get the duty or responsibility of the watchman. If when he see the sword come, so he has to see the sword come. So he's watching. Okay, it's an obvious give. It's a watchman. He's supposed to be watching. He sees the sword come upon the land, and he blow the trumpet and warn the people. So very simple responsibility. Your responsibility as a watchman is to watch for the enemy. When you see the enemy, sound the trumpet. Why? Because that warns the people to defend themselves, get up and defend the city. And later in the Bible, at other times, there would be times where, especially when they're building the walls of Jerusalem, they would actually be worried about the enemy coming in. And so when they were building the walls, they had their sword on their hip or their spears and their weapons right there with them. So they're working away, basically building this wall, but they're ready to defend the city in a moment's notice if the enemy came. And that's almost the idea here. We have a city that is, you know, living, taking care of, doing their regular stuff, but their whole, you might say, dependence, okay, is on that watchman doing his job. Because if that watchman doesn't do it, the enemy could come in and invade the city without anybody knowing. And so simple illustration. See the sword comes, we got to watch, and we have to blow the trumpet and warn the people, okay? And so it's to take notice and to give warning. Look at verse 4. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take not warning, if the sword come upon him, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Okay? So all of the responsibility doesn't fall on the watchman. Part of the responsibility falls on those that hear the warning. And so as they're there in the city, ready to defend the city, when they hear the watchman sound the trumpet, they have a responsibility. And we see that at the end of verse 5 there, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And so they've set it up for the watchman. They need to jump to action and defend the city. But we actually see in this illustration that there's two responses. One is to respond to the warning, but another response is just to ignore it, to ignore the warning. And that's what we see in verse 4. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take not warning. What? Why would you not take warning from the watchman giving you the warning that the enemy is coming? But then whosoever seeth the sound of the trumpet and take not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, and his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. So there's a big responsibility to those that hear the warning. They need to respond to it. If they don't respond to the warning, man, they lose everything, and the blood is at their hands. And so I love this illustration because, you know, as Christians in a church, we know obviously where this is going, and we started with the Great Commission. We have a responsibility to share the gospel with others. We have a responsibility as watchmen to tell others what to do, and we'll see that as we go through here. But I tried to come up with an example of why people would not respond to the warning. And one that came up with the boy who cried wolf. Okay, it doesn't really fit, but do you remember the story of the boy who called wolf? The whole city was basically there, and the boy thought he saw a wolf, so he goes, "Wolf, wolf!" And the whole city responded, the whole little town or, you know, whatever, responded, and they get ready to defend themselves from the wolf. The little kid loved it. He got all this attention because he saw the wolf. Well, there was no wolf, but they figured they scared it off or whatever. And so the boy, man, he loved it so much. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to cry wolf again. Wolf, wolf!" And everybody jumps up, gets ready to defend this. You know, and it happens enough times where people stop listening to the little boy at all. Okay? And so next time when he actually did see a wolf, he cried, "Wolf, wolf!" What happened? Absolutely nothing. Nobody responded to his warning. Why? Because he had given the false warning. Now, that doesn't really fit our illustration here, but it gives you a little bit of illustration of maybe why people won't respond to the warning. They've heard it. They've heard it enough times that it's become, you know, common knowledge. You know, it's like, yeah, I've heard that before. And they basically don't respond. And that's a sad place to be in. We need to make sure that we don't get dull to the gospel, rejected enough times that we don't respond to it. Man, this is God's word. We need to make sure that we're open to God's word and what he would have us to do. All right, so we have the duty of the watchman, basically to notice, to watch, and then give warning. We have the responsibility of the people that hear the warning. They need to respond to it. But there's two options. They can respond or they can choose not to. Okay? But sadly, we see that there's actually, you might say, two options for the watchman also. Look at verse 6. Jump down to verse 6. It says, "But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet." Well, wait a minute. It's made sense so far. The watchman sees the sword come. He blows the trumpet. The people who defend themselves, or they don't, and they die. Well, now all of a sudden it falls back to the watchman, and he actually has an option too. "But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet," so he can choose to not even give the warning. And that's scary. "And if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity." Same results as if you ignored the warning. You die in your iniquity. "But his blood will I require at the watchman's hands." And so the shifting of blood. Before, if they chose to ignore the warning, it said they die in their iniquity, but their blood was on their own hands. You chose to ignore it, it's your own fault. Here, now it goes to the watchman. If the watchman chooses not to give the warning and somebody dies, well, now all of a sudden they still die in their iniquity, but now the blood is required at the watchman's hands? That's a reality. If you think about the idea of the watchman and throughout history, if you were a watchman, especially as a cowboy, all right, or in an army or a city, and they caught you sleeping, what was the result? What was the penalty of sleeping as a watchman? Death. Really? I fell asleep because I was watching for the enemy and my penalty is death? Well, most definitely. Why? Because you weren't doing your job, your responsibility, and even if nobody died, your response or the penalty was death, because it was such an important position. The whole city, especially here in Ezekiel, that's the way they're defending the whole city. So if watchmen were to not give the warning, the result is death, which is something I thought about at one point. When we think about the watchmen that were put at the grave of Jesus and they sealed the tomb of Jesus after he died, they put him in the tomb and they sealed it and they took a watch and they put the watch to keep the disciples from getting in, you know. Well, Jesus rose from the grave, the angels came, they were as if dead and fallen asleep. But what did they do? They said, well, the ones basically told them, go to Pilate and tell him that you were asleep. And then if it comes back wrong, come and we will basically save you. We will, and I forget exactly the wording they used. But why did they say that? Because as watchmen, if they said that they fell asleep on duty, what was the penalty? Death. So even that whole story falls apart, that they fell asleep and the disciples came. Nah, that doesn't work. Why? Because if they went back and told that, they would be killed because of the penalty of death. But here, let's get back to the illustration here. So we have two options. And let's think through why this watchman may not give the warning. Why would he not give warning to think, okay, here I wrote down, one, he'd be the first to die. Could you imagine being the watchman? And you're watching, you're doing your job really well. You look over here, everything's clear. You look back, and the arrow's pointed right at you. And they're going, shh. And you're going, what's going to happen if you give the warning? You're the first to die. Okay, so yeah, there might be, you know, they tricked you. They caught you by surprise. That might be a reason. Or they tricked you, and you didn't have an opportunity to give the warning. You need to have that trumpet ready to go and be very attentive so that they can't sneak up on you, can't trick you that way. And do it. Bribe, okay? What if the watchman was bribed by the enemy? Well, that's one reason they said take a man of their own coast. It's hard to bribe a watchman when his wife and kids are in the city. His family's back there. Hey, would you take a little bit of money to not sound the trumpet? No way. My wife is back there. My kids are back there. I am blowing the trumpet and giving warnings. So bribe, if you have the correct watchman, is not going to work either. And then obviously there's the idea that he fell asleep. But that would be sad if the enemy came in and attacked your city. But again, my wife and kids are back there, and this is the way we're defending our city. The watchman's going to do his duty, do what he can to not fall asleep and sound the warning, give the trumpet. And so obvious, easy illustration. We've heard it before, the idea of a watchman. But let's look at how God basically takes this illustration of the watchman, and then he turns it around and he does it in such a way that he applies it directly to Ezekiel. And I think he applies it to us too. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee, and verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Remember the duty of the watchman? To keep watch and give warning. Wait a minute, changed a little bit. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. Okay, so that's how we watch. That's how we hear. We need to be in God's word. We need to know what God believes, know what God says. We need to hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Okay, so he takes this obvious illustration of watchmen and he applies it directly to Ezekiel. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Not over this little town, over the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. All right? Well, let's try take that and apply it to you and I. Okay? And I'll use me as an example. Let's play with this a little bit. It says, so thou, I'm going to change, instead of, oh thou, oh son of man, I'm going to put my name, and I want you to put your name here, okay? So thou, Rick Anderson, okay? So it says, if God is writing it directly to you. So thou, Rick Anderson, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Well, wait a minute, does that work? It does. Some of you may have children of Israel that you have contact with, Jews, okay, ministry to the Jews or neighbors that are Jewish. Well, then, yeah, it does apply. But for most of us, we don't really have any contact at all with the Jewish people, the Hebrews, right? So let's change it to where it applies to us. So thou, Rick Anderson, I have set thee a watchman unto, how about your family? Okay, I have set you, so think about your family. Think about your mom and your dad, your brothers, sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your grandparents. Has God really set us and our family as his watchmen? That's pretty powerful. I'm thankful that my parents are saved, my brother and sister are saved, my kids are saved. But it doesn't take me long to get out of one more step out of that where I have a lot of lost family members. God has put me in my family to be a witness and a testimony to him. So there, Rick Anderson, I have set thee a watchman unto your family. How about your job, your workplace? Think about all the people that you have. God has taken you and stuck you right there in that position. Why? So we could be a witness for him. Unto your school, your neighborhood. Do you realize that today's culture, most people don't even know their neighbors? And that's a little scary. It used to be that you knew your neighbors. You depended on your neighbors. You could communicate with your neighbors. And it might be with some of you, but a lot of times, some neighborhoods, you may have neighbors that you've been neighbors with for years and only said hi, bye, you know. You don't really have a relationship with them. But God has set us there in your neighborhood to be a witness for him. And so, take that a step further, your town, your state, your country, God has put us as his witness. And then all nations, beginning in our own town. Again, being a missions emphasis, as a church, it's obvious that you guys reach out into the world to make sure that others know Christ as their Savior. Well, I want you to think of everybody you know, okay? It's kind of a funny question, but I just helped you. Talk about your family, your job, your neighborhood, your church, your family, your state, your country, extended family, extended friends. Think about everybody you know. Now think about your pastor. Does he have an opportunity to witness to those people? To be a witness to them? To be an example to them? Maybe for some of them, but not like you do. You know, if pastor were to show up and I'll randomly meet your neighbor, okay, and share the gospel with him, you know, they'd be like, shut the door on his face. You know, who's this guy? Whereas you might have an indoor to share the gospel. And your family. Man, God has put us each individually. And again, think of everybody you know, okay? And think of your poor pastor if he tried to reach all the people that we know. he's got a full-time job, right? Trying to reach them. That's not his job. No, his job is to help us to be a witness to share the gospel with others. Let's read real quick verse 8. So, well, we'll start in verse 7. So thou, put your name there, Rick Anderson, all right? I've set thee a watchman unto all these different places, to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt, what? Hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. So we're to be God's witnesses. We need to be in God's word. We need to know what God's word said. Not just depend on what we hear at church, but get into the word of God. If there's something we don't understand, talk to our pastor, talk to our Sunday school teacher, find out what it means, find out. But man, this is God's word. And he talks to us through his word. And then when we read his word, we'll see that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and for our neighbors. That if they never hear the gospel, they're going to hell and separated from God. But now we have the responsibility to take and share that with them. Because it says, and warn them from me. Verse 8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. Now that's scary. That's the warning. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked of his way, that wicked man will die in his iniquity. But his blood will require thine hand. That's the scary part, the shifting of blood. You mean if I don't tell, if I'm not a good witness, have a good testimony, take the opportunity to share the gospel, God might require their blood at my hand? Wow, that's scary. That shows that there is a responsibility on our part. As the watchmen, that we need to sound the trumpet. We need to be in God's word and give the warning for them. Verse 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way, to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So again, we share the gospel. It's up to God to do this, to do the work. They can choose, just like the people of the city, to respond to the warning or to not respond to it. Look, jump down to verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Neighbor, family, friend, co-worker, why would you die in iniquity? We have a beautiful responsibility. And again, I love the illustration of the watchman. Very simple. Oh, but man, that's a big responsibility. Yeah. Because all of a sudden, it's not just something we're learning about. It's on us. We need to take to share the gospel. First thing I want to look at as we wrap up, look, jump up to right at the beginning again, verse 2, end of verse 2, it says, if the people take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. That's important. God uses his children as witnesses. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no way God can use you as a witness to all these people you know. Well, you can head out of track. God, you can use his word, and they may come to know Christ as Savior. You can invite him to church, okay? But no, God wants to use you in their lives. Yeah. Well, he's not going to use you if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Yeah. My first challenge to you is respond to the warning. Mm-hmm. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior so you can be a witness and a watchman for him, and he'll prepare you. He'll help you to do it. I'm going to finish with the passage I read in Luke, the Great Commission, Luke 24:46. It says, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you should be witnesses of these things. So thinking of the watchman, you need to hear from God's word, okay? Hear the word at my mouth. That's what we see in verse 46. And he said unto them, this is Jesus talking, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Okay, this might not be Jesus talking. To rise from the dead the third day. So this is giving the gospel. This is giving the gospel what he did. So we need to hear from God's word. And then verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's us warning them. And ye are my witnesses of these things. Or we could flip it around a little bit. And ye are my watchmen of these things. Isn't that beautiful? Old Testament, New Testament. It's the same story. God illustrates it in different ways. But we need to respond to God's word that Jesus died on the cross for us and to be willing to tell others about him. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we do thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Ezekiel. And just thank you for the pleasure of reading your word and finding something like that. Just by reading through your word, I pray you help each